Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Jethro's Barbecue Studios, where Wednesday is Mug Day with $7 Cousin Cocktails. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. For 75 years, NCMIC has been doing the right thing for its customers, employees, and the community. Now, here's Miller and Condon.
Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Miller and Condon to take you up until noon. David Kaplan coming up at the bottom of the hour, our weekly visit with the Capman. Right now, we're going to start off the hour, as we promised, talking to Pete Futek. Into college football we go. CollegeFootballNews.com. Pete joins us. Pete, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. I want to blow your site up for a second, because you work your tail. It's 11 o'clock in the morning. You've already got 11 articles posted today alone. You're busy over there. It's a great time of year, but is your traffic increasing? I mean, when do you start to see people kind of gravitate back to college football, Pete? What do your numbers tell you?
Not yet. It's a little inside baseball stuff here with, yes, the timing of the post, because they get reposted for start of June, so it looks like I did a lot more work than I actually did.
Okay.
But really not for a while. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, obviously people care about college football, and, you know, but it's really more of the diehard. Traffic-wise, it's one of those things. It's like any other sport. People care when it's happening. I mean, honestly, I'm a, you know, huge sports fan. Did I care about the NBA until about 6 weeks ago?
Right.
No. You know, hockey, you know, I watch every night. Did I watch a game, regular season game this season? No. Will I watch a regular season baseball game? There's no point until, I don't know, November. So it really is seasonal for most fans. So there's always that moment, though, in about August 10th-ish or so, when all of a sudden, kaboom, it just all blows up from there.
As we get ready for the season, there are a lot of changes that are happening in college football. Divisions can be no more. It's up to each conference now if they want to maintain or if they're just going to take the top two teams to play in a championship. Not only that, but the SEC has their own meetings happening right now, and they're talking about a change of the schedule and maybe actually going to 9 conference games. The impact of that for the SEC, yeah, for the South Carolinas and Vanderbilts of the world, it's going to be harder to get to 6-6 and get bowl eligibility. But when you look at the top end of that conference, 9 conference games, how important do you think that is?
I think the key to all this is at some point you don't do that move unless you're pretty certain you're going to expand the college football playoff at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of the problem is there's been sort of a lack of imagination when it comes to how the college football playoff committee has done this so far. And the whole idea of, oh, we're going to take the 4 best teams. Cincinnati wasn't one of the 4 best teams in college football last year. Yeah, but okay, I guess you had to take them. Year before, Texas A&M was a better team than Notre Dame, but they didn't go by that, and they shouldn't. I mean, if you're a panel of judges, you kind of have to go by what actually happened in the season, but they're not going by who the best teams really kind of are. They're going by what happened. So, long-winded way of saying, if you're going to do this, if you're the SEC, you got to know that you're going to have some pretty strong teams going 10-2 or even 9-3. That really would be college football playoff worthy. And so if you're going to expand the playoff, then go ahead and expand the conference schedule, because then it'll all work out a whole lot better.
Pete Futek, College Football News, is our guest. If you're a Cyclone fan, if you're a Hawkeye fan, both of those schools, their season preview has been posted at collegefootballnews.com. Pete, speaking of Texas A&M, there certainly was some news made over the last couple of weeks with Nick Saban, who was none too happy with Jimbo Fisher and the recruiting class he put together. He came out and said as much. Fisher called a press conference the next morning, and those two former colleagues, Fisher working for Saban, they got after it. Saban's kind of walked it back a little bit since then, but that's good for the game, right? I mean, we're talking college football in the early parts of May when those things happen.
Yeah, I suppose. It's good for something to do for the ends of the world to keep pinging me every 5 seconds whenever one of them makes a comment. It's silly. You know, these are just silly, rich old men who are just whining about who has the better, you know, the better cup holders on their spaceship. I mean, it's just not that big a deal. I mean, Jimbo Fisher should have come out and just said, yep, and then just walked away. And just said, yeah, okay, that's welcome to the new world, Nick Saban, adapt or die, son. Mm-hmm. And of course, Alabama, I mean, Nick Saban, you know, he's actually a pretty good dude, but he complains about everything. So that you knew he was going to complain and whine about that. But that's how this is working now. I mean, you're supposed to go after players. I know there are little, you know, apples and oranges on how you go about doing that, but it's all silly. Like, if someone wants to give a kid money, okay, you know, go for it. That's how it should be, actually. And it's actually the biggest overall key here. I don't know why anyone's whining about this, because it's the perfect situation for the colleges and for the NCAA. They don't have to pay the labor. Some goofy booster wants to give a car, get a car, go for it. So if they don't stop whining about it, eventually people are going to get wise and realize that they actually should be changing this in a different way that does not help the teams or the coaches like it currently does.
NCAA is trying to put up some kind of parameters and guardrails up with NIL collectives and make it that it's not an inducement. Is that even a realistic possibility, or are we too far down the road already where the NCAA is not going to be able to cover this back and make it the NIL maybe in the collectives as we originally thought they were going to be intended?
Yeah, you can't do it. I mean, because you can't say, hey, look, you can get money from this and you can't get money from that. It is an inducement. Look, you know, scholarships are an inducement. The colleges themselves are an inducement. I mean, everything to get these guys is an inducement. Really, all we're talking about here is that these kids are able to get jobs. You know, where most college students work at a Starbucks or a sandwich shop or some, you know, odd job, or, you know, telemarketing or whatever it is to do just to make odds and ends, you know, work. You know, these guys are getting money from boosters. It's just at a whole other scale. The real fear here for the SEC guys, and coaches just do not like anything that disrupts their system or throws another wrench into this. The real threat is going to be the places like USC, where you have a big, giant program in a big, giant city, and with a coach like Lincoln Riley, that whole thing can blow up fast. Because all the things that made USC awesome under Pete Carroll, that's how it's supposed to be done now. You're supposed to have marketing companies. You're supposed to have all these inducers. You're supposed to have all the trappings of a city like Los Angeles. And while, of course, Texas A&M is relatively close to Houston and Alabama's Alabama, they in L.A. They don't have the major super, you know, media markets like the USC's of the world do. So that's going to be the real fear for some of these programs.
Pete Futek, College Football News, is our guest. Pete, what do you make of the SEC hinting, threatening that they may break away and they just might conduct their own playoff at some point after 2025. I guess that came up at the meetings yesterday. What's the likelihood that happens?
If they're smart, they squash that in a hurry. Because here's the problem. Unless you want to create this as like this cute little niche league on the side, then it basically kills them. Because the thing that they completely miss, and all colleges do, but the SEC more than anybody else, is they assume people care about the SEC, and they don't. They care. We all care about Alabama when they play Texas A&M or Georgia, and of course they have the best college football going. But it's this is such a regional sport that you kind of joked before about, you know, Vanderbilt and South Carolina. Well, if, you know, Kentucky's playing Missouri. Do people watch?
I do.
No. You know, but you have to.
Right.
You know, but, like, it's the average fit. You asked before about, you know, stats on the site and traffic and all
that. Yeah, yeah.
And that's, I mean, you forget that we're junkies. I mean, we
right.
care about this stuff. We're sports fans. But 95% of the sports world doesn't give a hoot until the game's actually happening. So, of course, it'll if they did that, it would take, like, at least an English Premier League in America style, like, niche thing. But they need USC to be good. They need Ohio State to be good. They've got to branch out because they don't have the media. They don't have L.A. They don't have New York. They don't have Chicago. They don't have California. They don't have Phoenix. They don't have all these major media markets that the Big Ten, Pac-12 have.
Sports wagering, Pete, something that you talk about a lot at College Football News. Saw you had an article up talking about the over-unders that have been released across college football. Got a play or two? Anything that jumped off the page when those were released?
In general, I like the overs on the win total so far. I don't have any one specific one that screams. Every year I kind of overlove Stanford. I think LSU is a little bit better than I think the total's coming out at. But overall, I kind of think that right now, the advice I always give is if anybody gives you a win total of 11, just take the under, and at the very least, you're going to probably push. Because to go 12-0 is next to impossible. So if you're seeing an 11.5, which I think Ohio State or Alabama was at somewhere, just take the under and you're going to win. Because there's going to be a loss. And if it's not, you know, tip your hat and go on. It's just impossible to assume 12-0 for any team out there. And the same on the flip side. You know, Kansas is always a little, you know, under. Now, Kansas is a god when it comes to not being able to cover, but at least over the years. But, you know, last year, I think the win total set at 1.5. They're going to sneak out. They snuck out a win in there against Texas late in the season. So whenever you see a way too low total or a way too high total, just go the other way, and odds are you're going to be all right.
Yeah, I think Kansas Arrow's starting to turn towards the upside. I mean, they're not there. They still got a long way to go. But we'll see. Hey, Pete, listen, love talking college football with you. Again, collegefootballnews.com, season previews up for Iowa State, likewise for Iowa. You've got most of them up at this point, do you not?
Oh, God, I wish. I mean, we're still not even halfway through this thing already. But that's what June's for. This is a fun time. I kind of dig this time of year because this is when you kind of see all the things that are going to happen and you kind of it's all the big book reports to learn about all these teams.
Yep.
I kind of always dig this time of year.
I'm with you for that very reason. Just refreshing your memory of who's coming back, what the schedule looked like.
And then it's going to be Alabama versus Ohio State for the national championship.
Yeah, so. Indeed. Hey, Pete, thank you as always. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you down the road. Thank you, Pete Futek.
There you go.
All right, good stuff out of Pete Futek as we talk a little college football there. My headset came apart.
I hope it didn't
stop a mid-sentence.
No, you're good. You're good.
Good stuff out of Pete. Again, the Iowa and the Iowa State previews are up. He's got a little speculation on the win total for both of them as to whether they'll go over or under or not. So yesterday we talked about Derek Jeter joining Twitter.
Sure.
Apparently, there was something behind it. Did you? And I didn't know this at the time. The same people that produced The Last Dance,
mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan's 10, was it 10 parts or was 10 parts?
Was it 6 parts?
Was it 6 parts?
Maybe it's 10.
I think it was 10. Well, I remember coming in on Monday, we would break that down like it was a Super Bowl because
Absolutely.
That's all we had.
That's all we had.
Right.
And we'd break it down.
And then preview.
And lead into Tuesday and Wednesday. And then let's Friday preview what we're going to
make a part of Klaxons. But anyways, Jeter has a 7-part series coming out on Derek Jeter.
That sounds awful.
I'm wondering the same thing.
Michael Jordan.
It's in the middle of June it starts. Like, look, he's the captain's the captain.
Mm-hmm.
He is the captain of professional sports most recognizable franchise? The
yes.
Yankees? The championships?
Yes.
I think...
Because football, you can go a lot of different
ways. A lot of different ways.
Because they've done it in so many different eras.
Mm-hmm.
just the sheer volume that they have.
Celtics?
But then you say Celtics, Lakers.
Right.
It's just kind of 1-2.
Yeah. I think the Yankees are sports.
Because who's two in baseball? And the Red Sox and Cubs are two big markets that have been terrible.
Dodgers.
The Dodgers. But, I mean, they had a lull until recently.
And that brand before the six, when did they move? Late 50s, early 60s to Dodger Stadium from Brooklyn?
Yeah, there's no two.
The Montreal Canadiens, but it's Canada and it's hockey.
Yeah.
And they got a bunch of cups. And that was a six-team league.
You nailed it. It's the Yankees.
It's the Yankees. So, the fact that he's the captain, they had that spectacular run with him. I'm going to watch. You're going to watch. But will it be?
I don't know if I'm going to watch.
Okay.
It was a time period. And it was a guy that
had. Right. Yeah.
This is just another one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it'll be good. And it'll be well done. And there'll be things. And there'll be moments. And
that's a big time commitment, too. Seven different nights to watch.
I'll wait for the clips. Yeah. I'll go to Awful Announcing and see the important parts.
Or ESPN Plus.
Well,
and watch it when you want.
I'm not going to watch that. No. Seven parts for Derek Jeter, a guy that I don't like? No. No thanks. Not for me.
Maybe for you. That's apparently why he joined Twitter, so we could promote that yesterday. I mean, the announcement was made yesterday.
Did he get one of your 200 follows?
No.
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 I mean, it doesn't move the needle.
No. Well, I'm going to watch it. Just the A-Rod stuff. You know, I guess they didn't. Jeter did not like A-Rod when he came over there, as it was speculated. Well,
absolutely.
All right, David Kaplan is coming up. We will talk with the Cap Man coming up here at 11:30. Well, next.
Youngsters, so much fun last night as we talked about at the top of the show for the Cubs. White Sox going to run down the division.
No, I don't know.
They've had
injuries.
It just feels like a year for hell. They're still fine.
Mm-hmm.
They're still hanging around.
Does the second place team in that division get into the playoffs? I don't think so.
Well, the Angels keep losing.
Well, then that helps.
But you got the Blue Jays, the Yankees, and Rays.
And the Rays, right.
And the Red Sox, they lost a couple games to the Orioles.
And they lost to the Reds yesterday.
Reds are better.
I agree.
That was an April conversation.
I agree.
They were all right.
Yeah.
What do you think the Reds' record was in May?
Oh, that's a good one. In May, was their record... tell me how many games they played. They played 28?
Let me see if I can even find it. They were 3-18. In the month of April.
Okay, so they had to win 8 games.
So they were 3-18 in that month. All right, let's go here. I'm going to have to do some quick math. This is going to be dangerous.
Well, how many wins have they got now? Just do that.
Yep.
Minus 3.
So they have 14 wins in the month of May.
They won 11 games.
14-13. Above 500 for the month.
They are getting better.
You got to retire that Reds conversation. Mm-hmm. That is a competent team. They had a winning record in a month.
Yeah. It's not the free square like they were back in the month of April. I mean, the books couldn't get a bet on them. It was automatic. It put them in every single parlay. Although I saw Peralta, he's doing his parlays and posting them on Twitter. It surprises me that he's into sports betting like he is.
Yeah.
He really is. Because I remember thinking, I'm not even sure he can do the Claxons picks. Because I didn't know if it was kind of not awkward. But that's what he does for a living now. He does a sports betting podcast. But anyways, one of his plays last night was all over the Red Sox.
Oh, really? I was all over the Brewers last night.
Yeah, and they went down to defeat. Contreras, home run in the first. Patrick Wisdom hit one out onto Waveland in the 8th inning last night. He just clobbered that baseball. Cappy will talk about those Chicago Cubs and the Chicago White Sox when we continue on Miller and Condon. It's 11:25 on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.
For details,
most everyone knows that the Grumpy Goat Tavern has great lunches and dinners, but did you know that the Grumpy Goat Tavern also has breakfast? Classics like steak and eggs, the hangover burrito, chorizo, biscuits, and gravy. You can step it up with the shrimp and grits, breakfast fried rice, or hot chicken and waffles. And don't forget the big-ass cinnamon roll, plus bottomless Bloody Marys and mimosas. Do brunch at the Grumpy Goat Tavern, Mills Civic in West Des Moines, 50th Street in West Des Moines, and in Ankeny. Chin.net.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports with two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. and Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas, play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com.
Favorite shows.
Why should you apply for a career with Wolf Construction?
It's exciting and it's fresh and it's new every day. It creates new challenges and opportunities each day.
I wouldn't want to work anywhere else but Wolf Construction.
You can look around and go, wow, look what we've accomplished today as a Wolf team.
Wolf offers competitive pay. The benefits are great. They have a matching 401k.
Don't wait. Apply today at Wolf Construction.
Get on board here. Join us here at Wolf Construction.
Sign up and let's go. Wolf Construction is a great place to be.
Apply today. Wolf Construction.
210 4th Street.
David Kaplan, Centurion Stone sponsors. Welcome back, Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. And here is Cappy. Cap Trenton Ken, how are you, sir?
What's up, boys? Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. So the Cubs win, White Sox lose. Let's start with the winner of the two from last night. Cap and Trent said the same thing, which I was glad to hear because, look, the Cubs moved the needle here in Des Moines, and it's going to be a long year. But it was fun watching that game, Cap. I mean, I think we're at the point now, right, is, look, we know how the season's going to turn out. There's not going to be any postseason baseball in their future this year. It's all about watching these kids develop. And there's some kids that are going to be fun to watch develop. Is that where your point, and is that where you're at? And did you enjoy the game last night?
Yeah, I did enjoy it. And it's always fun when my favorite team wins, especially when they beat one of their rivals in Milwaukee. You're right. There's not going to be postseason baseball here, which is, it is what it is. But if I'm playing kids that I think have a potential of being part of my future, I'm good. But don't tell me that you're going to activate Jason Hayward and send,
right,
you know, Chris Morrell or someone back to the minor leagues because, well, we've got our money sunk into Hayward.
Yeah,
you got 40-man roster issues coming here, big time.
You know,
you got
Cap,
Alec Mills down there, and all these different guys. Who are you taking off the 40-man? Yeah. I mean, I would eat Hayward's money and move on.
And you said as much with Keuchel, like what they did on the south side. I mean, they cut bait with him, and we'll get to that in a second. So will the Cubs take a page out of the White Sox books and just, you know, go with Murray, leave him up here. Jason Hayward was great. I mean, he's never his contribution will never be forgotten to the World Series streak ender. But is it time and will they?
I think there's a chance that could happen. I do think there's a chance simply because they've got roster issues. You know, how many guys that play for the Chicago Cubs, you guys are there, I'm not. How many of them are in Des Moines right now? Alec Mills is there.
Mm-hmm. Madrigal just left. Yep.
Just left and came here.
Yep.
There's been a bunch of dudes that have been down there rehabbing and getting ready. You got Wade Miley back on the injured list. You've got, you know, a handful of guys that are hurt. Well, when they come back and you're at 40 on your 40-man roster, who are you taking off? Michael Hermosillo? Okay. There's one. You can't bring Jason Hayward back. If you're going to play young kids, I'm all in. Let's do it. But if Caleb Killian comes up here, if Matt Swarmer stays up here, he pitched well.
He did.
He didn't give you any reason to bring him back. All these different dudes, I want to watch young guys that I think might have a chance to be part of my future. I got no interest in watching 30-year-old rookies. You know, last year I had a friend of mine call me, "Dude, you're too hard on the Cubs, this kid Alcantara and this kid Ortega." I'm like, kid, they're 30. Wisdom. Yeah, Wisdom's a great dude. He can hit the ball 9 miles. He's going to turn 31. There's a reason he's never been a fixture in the big leagues. I want to watch guys that maybe they're 23 and maybe they make mistakes, but they got a chance.
What can you tell us about Seiya Suzuki, who came up onto the scene those first couple of weeks, looked like they had a star. And then really, really, the batting wasn't there. He had not progressed as anticipated. And now he's dealing with an injury, a finger injury that he said yesterday he hasn't felt improvement, speaking through an interpreter. When you look at Suzuki, 27-year-old, a lot of fanfare as he came in. What do you look at him into the future, what he's going to be? Is he a building block?
Yes, I think he's one of your foundation pieces going forward. He better be. You paid $100 million for him, $99.6 million. And when the last time I talked to Danny Evans, who I just adore, he was the GM of the Dodgers, he saw Seiya Suzuki play 75 times in person in Japan. Like, that's one of Danny's strengths, is Japanese baseball. And he said, before the season, here's what's going to happen. He's going to start really quick, and then they're going to adjust to him. You got to remember, he doesn't speak the language. He's in a brand new country. Everything is different. The way we play, the way we train, the way we eat, the way we travel. Everything is different. He said, and there's going to be some regression. He's going to be an outstanding major league player, but you guys have got to give him some time to make those adjustments. Now he's also dealing with an injury. So I still think he's going to be a damn good player. And when Danny Evans tells me that, I'm in.
Cap, Christopher Morel's a different cat, right? His unbridled passion for the game, his enthusiasm, just his whole personality. I mean, I watched him the other day walk into the batter's box for the first time and actually reach his hand out to shake the opposing catcher's hand. Good luck in the game type of thing. He pats Contreras on the back. After he walks, Contreras is moving into the batter's box and he's going out of his way to encourage him. I hear comparisons to Javi Baez, not the game itself, but just the passion for the game. Is that what they have in Morel?
That is the type of guy they have. In fact, I was listening to the Compound podcast because I'm going to do a sit down with Ian Happ a little bit. And Ian said that they had one reliever jogging in from the bullpen. And as he went by center field, Morel high fives him. The reliever like looked at him because you're trying to get locked in. Then here comes David Robertson and he does a jumping high five with him. It's a This dude is infectious. Yeah. Every day he comes in the clubhouse, how's everybody doing today? He's got a big smile and a laugh, and he's always having fun. He's like, we play Major League Baseball for a living. This is amazing. That's the type of guy you need. So during the dog days when it gets tough or you're on a team that's not going to go to the playoffs, those are the type of guys that pick you up. So I love it. I'm thrilled that he's here, and I do not – a scenario where they send him back anytime soon.
We've talked a lot here over the last month or so about Wilson Contreras and what his future is going to be with the organization. How about that guy that you're going to be talking to in a little bit?
Yeah,
Ian Happ.
Good point, Trent.
You know, what kind of piece is he when we look towards the trade deadline?
Well, look, this is the Chicago Cubs. This was my rant the other night, and I'm probably going to do more of it on my recap on YouTube later tonight. Ian Happ's a really good baseball player. Ian Happ can hit from both sides.
Can
he
field.
Can hit with power. He can field. He made an incredible diving catch the other day. And this dude is a great person. He's a brand. He is just a cool, cool dude. Those are the kind of guys you win with. This is not Kansas City. Oh, boy, he's got another year arbitration. We can't afford him. We better trade. This is the Chicago freaking Cubs. There is no one that you can't afford. And if you determine, you know what? We're going to have him as one of our outfielders with Seiya Suzuki and Brennan Davis, and we're going to go try and get whoever in the offseason, Aaron Judge or whoever it is. You can afford anyone you get. Now, I understand Babe Ruth was traded, so is Wayne Gretzky. I get it. But Ian Happ has a role on this team, and unless you're making the deal where you go, oh, my God, we can't turn this trade down, that would be a guy I'd want in my clubhouse. I think he's a winning type of person.
White Sox in a minute, because I do want to get you to comment on what you said about Dallas Keuchel as far as the locker room and cutting him loose, which seemingly was the right decision. But before we do that, Cap, along to Trent's question, I'm seeing Marcus Stroman being mentioned amongst guys who might be available in his first year. He's been great lately, Cap. I mean, you watched him against the White Sox. He pitched his you-know-what off in that game. They should have won that game. Is Stroman going to be available at the deadline, do you think?
I guess anybody is. And when you sign a 3-year deal, and I think there's an opt-out after year two, I believe. But I know he's got a 3-year contract. Certainly anybody's available. But again, where are you getting pitching from unless you're truly trying to tear this thing, you know, all the way down and tank it? And they have not. My biggest problem with what they're doing is they're charging major league prices.
Right.
And they are not willing to tell you that it's a rebuild. And that is false advertising. If you trade Marcus Stroman, I don't care what prospects you're getting back. If you trade him and you trade Wilson Contreras and you trade whoever else, you are telling people, hey, we want you to come pay the most expensive experience in baseball. Is I'm looking at Wrigley Field. I'm sitting here. I'm sitting right by the ballpark. I'm looking at it. That's the most single expensive experience. Tickets, parking, food, whatever. I think it's $110 a person to go.
Wow.
And if you want to go just ticket prices, I think they're third or fourth in all of baseball. So hold on a minute. You want me, the guy who's making, let's call it, family income is $65,000. After taxes, I got to get my kids clothes. We got to put food on the table. I got to pay my mortgage. I got to pay for gas in the car. I got to heat my home. I got to put the electric bill on. And you want me to go pay how much to go watch who? Ortega and Schwindel and Wisdom. And I'm not being disrespectful to them, but that's a team that you're asking me to go there to be entertained by that has zero chance of being a winner. And they're not trying to be a winner. So that's my problem with where the Cubs are right now.
The White Sox also trying to be a winner, but a game under 500 after losing last night to the Blue Jays 6-5. White Sox, I posed a question earlier to Ken. Is this just maybe setting up to be a year from hell where you can't get over the injury bug? It's just a lost season, if you will, for a team that felt like they were a real contender here in 2022.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Tell me what the Atlanta Braves were in relation to 500, July 31 a year ago.
50-51, I think it was.
They were two games under, 52-54, I believe.
Okay.
Wow.
On July 31, they went and got Jock Peterson that month from the Cubs. They went and got Jorge Soler. And all of a sudden, they won the freaking World Series. They got healthy. They got right, and they got on a roll. So maybe the White Sox won't get there, but they're only three back in the loss column. As bad as they've played, they are three games back in the loss column. That's it. And they've got to ride out 3 weeks without Tim Anderson. It could have been 6-8. They got very lucky. They're going to get Lance Lynn back here 10 days.
Robert?
They don't have Dylan. Robert is active, didn't play last night because he said he's still feeling the effects of COVID. So he's going to start playing. Hopefully he'll be in the lineup tonight. You get out of Toronto, you get Dylan Cease back. He and Graveman are not even with the team because they're unvaccinated, so they're not allowed into the country of Canada. And by the way, did you notice that Robbie Ray, the former Blue Jay who's on the Mariners, Robbie Ray, when the Mariners went to Toronto recently, did not go on the trip because he's unvaccinated. He can't get into the country. They did not do anything with his status. The Chicago White Sox yesterday announced Dylan Cease and Kendall Graveman have been placed on the restricted list.
Right.
Google restricted list and COVID. If you're unvaccinated,
you're not paid.
You do not get paid.
Right.
Is that Rick just saying, okay, you guys don't want to get vaccinated? That's your call. I'm not paying you. Cease wasn't even going to pitch. He pitched against the Cubs the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't even going to pitch. Is that Rick saying, you don't want to get vaccinated? I'm not paying you because the Mariners paid their guy.
That is interesting. Let's go inside the clubhouse, Cap. You shed some news on one of your recaps about Keuchel when they did release him, and it was the right move because he's not pitching well. He's a couple of years removed from that. And you mentioned that perhaps not the best clubhouse guy. What have you learned about Keuchel in the clubhouse?
Yeah, I don't know if I would say not the best clubhouse guy. What I said was there might have been a disconnect between Dallas Keuchel and the coaching staff. I think his teammates liked him. I do.
Okay.
But when you have an ERA north of 8 for a good chunk of this season, and I need a 40-man roster spot, and I can't keep running you out there, I mean, for me, you run to the window if he's pitching against your team and you go, I'm betting against Keuchel. He beat the Yankees the one day. I think he gave you five innings. Other than that, name me a start where he's kept you in the ballgame in the last month. You can't find one. So if there's a disconnect with the coaching staff and he's not pitching very well, and it's a sunk cost. That's what, you know, I was arguing with Gordon Whitmire yesterday. He said, you're saying they should buy Hayward out. Well, why would they do that when they have that much amount of money left on his deal? The rest of this year and all of next year, he makes $26 million a year. Okay, let me ask you a question. I've used this analogy on radio and TV, and I think I've used it with you guys. But if we go buy cameras at NBC Sports Chicago, and the camera makes me look blurry, and the microphone that they clip to my suit coat makes me sound like this, you can't really hear me. I don't care if you paid for it. I don't care how much you paid for it. If it doesn't enhance your product, okay, we made a bad purchase. I'm going to fire the guy who bought the cameras and the microphones, and I'm going to go get good equipment. That's my point. Dallas Keuchel gave you no chance to win. Thanks, Dallas. We made a bad signing. Here's your money. Get out.
Yep.
Same with Jason Hayward. Great dude. Awesome leader. He doesn't give me a chance to win, and now he's not like a 27-year-old. He's in his 30s. Jason, you want to chase a ring? The Yankees want you as a fifth outfielder, or the Cardinals, or the Dodgers, or whoever it is. Here's your money. We appreciate you. Thanks for the gold gloves, and thanks for the speech on November 2nd, 2016. We won a World Series, and you played a role. We appreciate you. You're out. That's what I would do. We'll find out if the Ricketts family's willing to do that.
In 2026 and 36 and 41 and 10 and 20 and 25-year anniversaries of that World Series, we will welcome you back with open arms, but it's time. Cap, great stuff. We're out of time. Cappy, thank you. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great week, pal.
I look forward to it.
Yep, see you, buddy. David Kaplan, Centurion Stone of Iowa sponsors. Cappy, CenturionStoneOfIowa.com. If you're in the market for manufactured or natural stone, you have a project indoors, you have a project outdoors, they can handle both. Check them out online, CenturionStoneOfIowa.com. Visit the showroom, 5525 Northeast 22nd Street in Des Moines. Trent's play of the day, May was terrific. It's behind him.
It's new
June,
month.
New month.
Flip the calendar. Let's go.
Let's go. Play of the day is next. Circus Sports sponsors Miller and Condon are on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.
Des Moines homeowners have two questions. What's the best time to rent out my home? And what's the best way to do it? The best time is when you're moving, relocating, combining households, inheriting a house, or you just don't want to pay a mortgage anymore. The best way to rent? Hire Renter's Warehouse. Whether you have one home or a property portfolio, Renter's Warehouse does the work so you don't have to. They perfectly price your property so you don't have to. They find great tenants in just 17 days on average, so you don't have to. And for a small flat monthly fee, their professional landlords manage your property 24/7, so you don't have to. Collect the rent? You don't have to. Maintenance, inspections, and tax paperwork? You don't have to. There's no upfront fees, no binding contracts, and you can cancel at any time. Find out what your home will rent for by calling 515-528-4429 or go to renterswarehouse.com. That's renterswarehouse.com. Renters Warehouse Des Moines. You can't buy happiness.
Rush on your side.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports with two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas. Play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com.
Which home selling team?
Maybe you're thinking about franchising your business or purchasing a franchise. There's an experienced and trustworthy franchise lawyer right in your backyard. Don't waste your time or money searching for a lawyer out of state when Rush Nigut is here and ready to help your business.
Hi, I'm Rush. I've specialized in business and franchise law for the past 25 years. I don't just want to be your lawyer. I want your business to succeed as much as you do.
Your business needs Rush. Visit his award-winning blog at rushonbusiness.com. It's good to have Rush.
Details.
Trent's Pick of the Day is brought to you by Circus Sports. Download the Circus Sports app today to play with Trent or against him.
All right, we are running out of show, Trent Connor. Let's get right to it. Your plays of the day, sponsored by Circa Sports. Where are you going?
We're starting off, as we talked about at the top, with some hockey. Going to go with the under tonight with the Rangers and the Lightning. 5.5 is the number. Got to lay -120. We'll jump on that with pick number one. Two in baseball. Looked hard this afternoon. We got the Guardians and the Royals. Couldn't come up with a play there. We'll wait till this evening. Starting at 5 o'clock tonight, Philly's hosting the Giants. Carlos Rodon hasn't been great lately. Read something about something they maybe saw mechanically, though. We're going to jump aboard here. Grab me the Giants plus the 110, and we wrap it up with a homer pick. Bailey Ober and the Twins -114 at the Tigers tonight.
Jim Cott on the call. Dick Bremer and Jim Cott will have that one on Bally Sports North. Do we ever find out why they bought those properties? I mean, they got to have a gambling something plan, right?
That's got to be the plan eventually, but not a whole lot, right?
Yeah, nerd peep. All right, Murph and Andy, you're coming up in, an hour and 5 minutes, and then Fanatics at 3, Hawk Central Radio goes tonight. Tomorrow, we'll know what A.J. Green is going to do.
How about Chris Murray?
And Chris, I guess we don't know, do we?
We don't.
Maybe Hawk Central will know tonight when they take the airwaves at 6. We're Miller and Condon. You can hear Trent and I weekdays from 10 to noon on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.